Welcome to the Simply Charlotte Mason podcast. I'm Sonia Schaefer, and today I want to give you 10 do's and don'ts for nature study. As we wrap up our series on nature study, I thought you might enjoy having a highlights list of do's and don'ts from Charlotte's Council to Parents. Now, some of these tidbits of wisdom we've already covered in our series, but there are a few others that may be new to you. I'm not going to say that these 10 items cover everything you need to know. You'll find a much more comprehensive collection of Charlotte's comments on nature study in a helpful book called Hours in the Out of Doors. We'll provide a link to that in the show notes. But these 10 are important do's and don'ts that will get you going in the right direction, whether you have preschoolers or high schoolers, and they will help you feel more confident as you guide your child in learning about nature. So here we go. Number one, do spend regular time outdoors all year round and encourage a spirit of investigation. Your younger children can't really spend too much time outside, and your school-age children should get out there at least once a week. Charlotte said, "It is infinitely well worth the mother's while to take some pains every day to secure, in the first place, that her children spend hours daily amongst rural and natural objects, and in the second place, to infuse into them, or rather, to cherish in them, the love of investigation." Home Education, page 71. Number two. Do encourage your child to try to figure out answers to his questions, rather than expecting you to do all the reasoning for him. Older children might jot down their questions in their nature notebooks and then go on a hunt for the answers for themselves. Charlotte said, "He, the child, must be accustomed to ask why. Why does the wind blow? Why does the river flow? Why is the leaf bud sticky?" And do not hurry to answer his questions for him. Let him think his difficulties out so far as his small experience will carry him. Home Education, page 264. Number three, then, when you choose to answer his questions, do try to make the answer living, not just facts from a textbook. Charlotte put it this way, "Above all, when you come to the rescue, let it not be in the cut-and-dried formula of some miserable little textbook. Let him have all the insight available, and you will find that on many scientific questions, the child may be brought at once to the level of modern thought." Home Education, page 264. Number four, don't overwhelm your child with too much scientific terminology too soon. If he doesn't use correct terminology in his observations, that's okay. You want to encourage personal observation and narration in his own words first. The terminology for those ideas can come in the regular course of science lessons. Charlotte said, "Do not embarrass him with too much scientific nomenclature. If he discovers for himself, helped perhaps by a leading question or two, by comparing an oyster and his cat, that some animals have backbones and some have not, it is less important that he should learn the terms vertebrate and invertebrate than that he should class the animals he meets with according to this difference." Home Education, page 265. Tip number five, do give direction, sympathy, encouragement, and help with experiments. Be the friendly guide, not the fountainhead of all knowledge for the student. Charlotte said, "The teacher affords direction, sympathy in studies, a vivifying word here and there, help in the making of experiments, etc." Philosophy of Education, page 19. And then tip number six, do teach science through a combination of nature study in the field, living books, both general and focused, natural object lessons, and special nature projects. make use of both random and structured studies. Charlotte said the only sound method of teaching science is to afford a due combination of field or laboratory work with such literary comments and amplifications as the subject affords. A Philosophy of Education, page 223. And then number 7, do remember that just dabbling in random scientific information is not the same as learning careful observation and understanding. Nature study should cultivate the habit of looking closely and carefully with a mindset of eagerness for what we can learn for ourselves. Charlotte put it this way, we may not confound a glib knowledge of scientific textbooks with a patient investigation carried on by ourselves of some one order of natural objects. And it is this sort of investigation in one direction or another that is due from each of us. We can only cover a mere inch of the field of science, it is true, but the attitude of mind we get in our own little bit of work helps us to the understanding of what is being done elsewhere. And we no longer conduct ourselves in this world of wonders like a gaping rustic at a fair. Ourselves, Book 2, page 101. Tip number 8. Don't correct your child's nature notebook. It is his own possession. Encourage him to make it a personal reflection of his growing relationship with God's creation. Charlotte said the children keep a dated record of what they see in their nature notebooks, which are left to their own management and are not corrected. These notebooks are a source of pride and joy and are freely illustrated by drawings, brushwork, of twig, flower, insect, etc. School Education, page 236. And tip number 9, do share your child's wonder and admiration for his nature discoveries. Your attitude and enthusiasm will set the tone. As Charlotte said, one of the secrets of the educator is to present nothing as stale knowledge, but to put himself in the position of the child and wonder and admire with him. Home Education, page 54. And the last tip then, do keep learning about science and nature yourself, so you will have information to give your child as he desires it. Keep growing in your own relationship with nature. Charlotte put it this way, the mother cannot devote herself too much to this kind of reading. Not only that she may read tidbits to her children about matters they have come across, but that she may be able to answer their queries and direct their observation. Home Education, pages 64 and 65. You never know where time in nature might lead. A little boy named Alan was told by his father, keep out of doors as much as you can and see all you can of nature. She has the most wonderful exhibition, always open and always free. Alan did, starting in the garden of his own family's home and then branching out farther and farther into a nearby forest. Those hours in nature, combined with the innocent childhood adventures he experienced outdoors, eventually became the setting for the beloved adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Alan was A.A. Milne. You never know where time in nature might lead.
Thanks for joining us for the Simply Charlotte Mason podcast. You'll find links to suggested resources, related articles, and a written transcript of this show in the show notes and at simplycharlottemason.com. See you next time.